This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood to savor red, ripe Creole tomatoes, delight in the melodic sounds of young musicians, or experience new dances, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Visitors to the French Market will be seeing red this weekend as the 30th annual Creole Tomato Festival gets underway. Live music, cooking demonstrations, and special events are planned for this simple fruit that excites local palates. Festival coordinator Amy Kirk is here with the latest on this year's crop and festivities. Welcome.
Thank you.
It is always exciting when the first Creole tomatoes of the season arrive. How do they look this year?
They look ripe and ready. We had an event where we had Father Landry from St. Louis Cathedral bless some tomatoes, and they were brought from Mounts, Louisiana, and St. Charles Parish from Timmy Perilou's farm, and they looked fantastic. They are that unusual red, not that beef eater red. It's like a different type. And he was explaining they're not the prettiest tomatoes. They're not made to be pretty. They're made to be eaten. They may not look like your grocery store tomatoes, but locals know that. They know when they see a real fresh Creole tomato.
For the uninitiated, what makes Creole tomatoes special?
So it's actually based on the fact that they are grown in the river parishes. What we consider authentic Creole tomato is grown in St. Bernard or Plaquemines Parish, because it's all about the soil. The alluvial soil of the Mississippi River is what made them called that.
Are they plentiful this year?
They are. I've gotten good news from our farmers like Ben and Ben Becknell Farms. They say that the crop is good. If you remember, we had kind of a harsh winter last year, so they were a little bit nervous last year, and the crop was a little bit later. This year is better. Around the first and second week of June is the bulk of when the crop is really in, and they're picking as we speak.
Now, the festival seems to get bigger with each year. Are you still expanding?
We are, partly because the French Market is expanding. The French Market now operates Crescent Park. The park really started fully operating in the fall of 2015, and we started having events there. But we haven't had a significant event and an impactful event like the Creole Tomato Fest. We wanted to kind of learn our way around this 1.4-mile park and figure out the best uses for it. It's mostly been a park that people can just enjoy during daylight hours with their dogs and friends and family and picnic or jog or exercise. But we're going to turn it into a festival ground for the first time this weekend at the Mandeville Wharf. So if you can picture the Mandeville Wharf, great. If you can't, it's at the foot of Elysian Fields. You can see Crescent Park painted on the flood wall. There's an elevator and stair access, and you cross the bridge over the railroad tracks, and then you walk down into this majestic river view under the wharf, and you see the entire city skyline, and you can hear the river. It's just amazing, and you feel at least 10 degrees drop in temperature. You really can feel the breeze. And then the green area that we call the ellipse is going to have the main music stage. We've got four music stages, but we really have our top acts at the Crescent Park stage to really highlight that area. Just know that the festival continues another block beyond the Mint. So the festival is actually about a four-block stretch in total. You could consider either end the entrance. You could either enter from the Crescent Park and Mint side or enter from the Dumaine and Dutch Alley Street side. That is the beginning of the festival. We'll have an arts market there and our new Bloody Mary market that we're really excited about. We're going to have a dozen different Bloody Mary vendors in Dutch Alley and also live music there.
Wow. Now, you are responsible for the first ever cookbook.
Yes, I'm very excited about our cookbook because it's just a natural. It seemed time to do it. It's our 30th anniversary. Gathering 30 recipes really wasn't as difficult as you would think, especially in New Orleans, where almost everyone has a Creole tomato recipe. And getting them from a wide variety was also pretty easy because we had plenty of home chefs, local restaurants, and then also our own food vendors.
What are some of the recipes we're likely to run across?
Classic Southern rich dishes like Chef Kevin Belton's Creole okra. Mm. There's Diane Honoré's gumbo, Creole tomato gumbo. There are pasta dishes. There's desserts, the Cupcake Fairies. They have a Creole tomato cupcake recipe. Marcel Bienvenu, Louisiana Cookin, contributed one of her recipes for Creole tomato bread pudding.
Oh, that's
so
different.
Yeah, there's some pretty amazing dishes that I hadn't heard of before. So I think it'll be a nice surprise.
What about cooking demonstrations?
The festival has always had cooking demos as one of its signatures. Two full days of some of the city's top chefs showing off their Creole tomato dishes. Those demonstrations are going to be in the heart of the farmers market at Governor Nichols Street at our Louisiana Cookin' Culinary Stage. What we've added to that stage also are tomato talks each morning, so interviews with chefs and farmers about tomatoes. And then we also have two tomato eating contests. We have a tomato eating contest both Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 for kids and grownups. We have two separate contests with two separate winners. That's also the stage where we announce our Best of the Fest food booths, and also this year our Best of the Fest Bloody Marys.
Wow. Now, there's one more thing I believe is new. There's a 5K run this year?
We do. This is very exciting because a lot of festivals kick off with a 5K run, and we finally are doing this. And it starts and ends at Crescent Park. You run basically a loop around Crescent Park, and then when you end, Mem Shannon is there playing music. So it's a party at 9 o'clock. Anyone who's interested can register at frenchmarket.org. It's being organized by NOLARunning.com. Things are really starting off early. From 8:30 onward on Saturday, you could show up for yoga at 9:30 and just move right on into our second line that ends at Washington Artillery Park with a first bite of the season. We give out 100 free tomatoes for this moment of biting into the first Creole tomato of the season together.
Now, let's talk about the music. Who's headlining?
We have Paul Sanchez, Raw Oyster Cult, Little Freddie King, and then we close out Sunday with Darcy Malone and the Tangles.
Wow.
Got some really, really great bands. We also have the original Panettes Brass Band, the Flaming Arrows, Gina Brown, and Chawa. And like I said, Mem Shannon kicks off the day Saturday, ripe and early, with the Ripe and Ready Run. If you want to go out to the river at 9 o'clock, you can catch Mem Shannon and the membership for the post-race party.
And do you have any do's and don'ts for us once we get those wonderful tomatoes and we take them home?
One thing I learned from Ben Becknell Jr. is that if you want to ripen them even more, some people like them, you know, as juicy as possible and ripe, you can put them on a windowsill or in a warm room. He said even in your laundry room or maybe garage, just to warm them up a bit. That'll ripen them faster. On the other hand, if you get them very ripe at the festival and you're worried about them, you could put them in the fridge, but he admitted that the fridge takes away a bit of flavor. So I would recommend either eating them fast or putting them in a recipe that you might learn from our cookbook, or just keeping them in a bowl on the table until they're gone.
Creole Tomato Festival coordinator Amy Kirk, thanks.
Thank you.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce, homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning and out in the garden, get your ripe ones, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer, all winter without them. Bummer. I forgot all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and pick me a big one. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love. Homegrown tomatoes.
The 30th Annual Creole Tomato Festival runs Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the French Market District. You're listening to Inside the Yards on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The Greater New Orleans Youth Orchestra, GNOYO, is tuning up as its summer music festival is in full swing this week at Loyola University. Students are rubbing elbows with a Grammy Award-winning recording artist as acclaimed violinist Mark O'Connor shares his musical talents. GNOYO's music director, Dr. Jean Montez, and his 12-year-old son, violinist Jazz Montez, are here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
This is a unique opportunity for young musicians. How will students engage with violinist Mark O'Connor?
In many different ways. He is very interested in music education as a whole and really combining all techniques that one learns as a classical musician into becoming a full-fledged performer, being able to use the tools that we have to improvise and be able to use the instruments that are usually known as just classical instruments in all the different genre of music that we play. So he's really helping us stretch, as I would say, the boundaries of our students to give them the tools that they need to be able to enjoy and participate in other style of music, from jazz to zydeco to fiddling to everything they want to use these instruments to do.
How did this opportunity come about?
We've been really exploring this possibility for quite some years now, and he's been very interested in New Orleans, especially because of the vitality of the cultural heritage of the city, where I think we're raising musicians that are very different from most places. He's been very interested in coming and really try to really combine some of the techniques that he used himself in performing improvisation on the string instrument, and try to really lead that. We're very good here in New Orleans with the brass and woodwind instruments. We do that very naturally in percussion, but the strings sometimes is left a little bit behind in the jazz world. So he's trying to close the gap.
Now, Jazz, is this exciting for you to be a part of this camp and to actually share the talents of a renowned artist?
Well, it's very exciting. I've never had this opportunity before, and I'm ready to engage in new experiences over this festival.
What are you hoping to learn from Mark O'Connor?
Well, I'm hoping to develop my technical skills and to just experience his amazing playing and grow from that experience.
I think you're prepared to perform a little bit for us?
Yeah, I'm going to be playing the Souvenir de sa set by Potstock. It's a bit of a showpiece for the violin, and I've been working on it for about 6 months now.
What first attracted you to the violin?
Well, I started out on the cello, but it didn't feel right for me. So I tried a smaller instrument because I was only three. And the violin, it just fitted me perfectly, and I just loved it.
Students from Gonoya are found all over the map musically. Some are even teaching at universities. One of them is teaching at Loyola as a trumpet faculty. We have been recognized by the different organizations in the country. Coming Up Taller Award was an award that we received from the White House directly. Been featured in France and also at Carnegie Hall. So it's an organization that has had an opportunity to really bring the talent of New Orleans to the outside world, to really showcase what we do, and also been able to be an integral part of nurturing young musicians in the city.
Can you tell me about the students that are involved? How old are they, and what instruments are they playing?
Yeah, so we have a wide range of students from first grade all the way up to 19 that are going to be participating. We're going to have two groups, one group that will be of students that are 12 years old and probably younger, that will be a string group with violin, viola, cello, and basses. And then we'll have another group that will take the 12 to 19 group together in a full orchestra. So we have the string sections with violin, viola, cello, and bass. And we'll have woodwinds, flute, oboe, clarinet, and bassoons, the brass family with French horn, trumpet, trombone, and tuba, and then we'll have percussion. So we have the full orchestra as well. The students are coming in from many different parts of the city.
What will they perform in the final concert?
It's divided in two parts. The string orchestra will be performing a couple of pieces, but also what we call a string threads that will feature Mark O'Connor and his O'Connor family band with that group. They are basically depicting different style of popular string playing with the ensembles. And then the top group will be performing an overture type piece that is sort of based on the Pirates of the Caribbean idea written by Mark O'Connor. And then he's also going to be doing a solo piece, which is the improvised violin concerto. So we'll be doing a movement of that. And then we'll be finishing with a piece that he wrote that will feature him and the entire group of six members that he's bringing with him, called Johnny Appleseed, that he'll be performing as a finale concert.
What are you hoping audiences will come away with after this concert experience?
I think seeing the potential of what our students are able to do with their formal music education, able to really combine with a world-class artist and able to explore those different genre and style of music with their instrument, I think that will be refreshing and also uplifting, a good way to start the summer.
Greater New Orleans Youth Orchestra's music director, Dr. Jean Montez, and his son, violinist Janice Montez. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having us.
Finalia's free public concerts will include chamber music ensembles on Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. and a final performance on Friday at 11:15 a.m. at Loyola University. More info at gnoyo.org/summer-fest. And there's more. You can catch the O'Connor Band featuring violinist Mark O'Connor Thursday night at Snug Harbor Jazz Bistro, 626 Frenchman Street. Performances are at 8 and 10. Now across town, the Marigny Opera House New Dance Festival premieres three works this weekend. Joining me is Marigny Opera House Executive Director Dave Herbert and choreographer Will Byram. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
This is the third year for the Marigny Opera House New Dance Festival. What are your thoughts as it's gaining traction in the arts community?
When we started the festival back in 2012, we were sort of doing an experiment. I was trying to get to know the dance community here. What we were trying to do was to draw the dance community together and to give opportunity to local choreographers, local dancers, and local musicians to create new work and to develop a public for that work. This is our third year, and I'm hoping we'll have our largest audience ever involved in the festival.
So how are the choreographers and the works selected for this festival?
We put together a panel, just as we did for the first two festivals, of people very knowledgeable about dance. This year, our panel, which convened in February, included Neil Barkley, who heads up the Contemporary Arts Center, the CAC, Parisa Kobde, who is a leading dancer with the Paul Taylor Dance Company in New York City, and also Chris Waddington, who is a journalist and dance critic. We met February 25th and reviewed all of the applications, and from the application selected three local choreographers.
And Will, you are one of those choreographers.
Yes. I'm really excited. This is like my professional debut, and I just graduated from New Orleans Center for Creative Arts, and I had some choreographic experience there, both locally and regionally, and so now I'm excited to finally get paid and have a professional audience.
Tell us about your work.
My piece is 722 Toulouse. It's based on Tennessee Williams' play Vous Querez. One of his little-known plays he made in 1972 is on Broadway. The music is Samuel Barber's string quartet in B minor. It's an analysis about the quirky, kind of dark and twisted characters that come to exist in the house, 722 Toulouse Street. I chose this play because it reminds me of myself and my experience in New Orleans. I'm not from New Orleans. I grew up in Mississippi, and plays about migrants to New Orleans, people who aren't from New Orleans and how they exist in the French Quarter. And it takes place in the Great Depression, and I find some parallels from then and now about alcoholism and crime and kind of the dark underlying tones of the city.
What other works are on the program?
There'll be two other works on the program. We'll have dance that's entitled That Space Between. And the choreographer of that is Maritza Mercado Narcisse, who's well known to local audiences. She's using music for solo cello, and that'll be performed by Philip von Maltzen, who is a musician with the LPO. The other piece is a postmodern dance called Birthday Sue. And the choreographers for that will be a team. It's Angèle Hébert and Shannon Stewart. The musician is Lady Baby Miss, who will be singing not only Happy Birthday, but other things. There are a lot of surprises that happen during this postmodern birthday party. Lady Baby Miss is a brilliant singer, pianist, composer who writes songs. She was one of the first performers at the Marigny Opera House when we first opened the doors, I believe, in 2011. And I haven't seen her since. It was a delightful surprise when I walked into rehearsal the other day, and there she was at the piano. Everything we do at the Marigny Opera House is with live music. And in this case, we're very lucky to have the Polyhymnia Quartet, which is a new local quartet of New Orleans musicians. I believe all of them play for the LPO. It includes Kate Withrow, violin, along with Benjamin Hart, violin, Amelia Klingman on the viola, and Philip von Maltzen on cello.
What are you hoping folks will take away from this unique dance experience?
I'm hoping that it will inspire people. I see kids coming to performances who are inspired. I see kids inspired to begin studying dance, studying violin. If we can inspire one kid during this festival to consider studying dance or music, that'll make it worthwhile.
Marigny Opera House Executive Director Dave Hurlburt and choreographer Will Byram, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The new dance festival kicks off Friday at the Marigny Opera House, 725 St. Ferdinand Street. Performances run through Sunday. More info at marignyoperahouse.org. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.